Morning, and if you would, to locate the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. I'm going to begin reading verse 23. If you find that, you can stand to honor reading God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Would you bow with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, this morning as we pause to reflect and remember the sacrifices for our freedom here in America, we also pause and remember to thank you for the sacrifice that you gave so that we could have the ultimate freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from judgment, freedom from eternal separation from God. And on this morning, as we come to the Lord's table to take of the bread, take of the juice, as a memorial for what you have done for us, I pray that in the stillness and the quietness of this morning, that we'll all be reminded of what it took for us to have freedom today. This is our prayer in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, you may be seated. There have been days when the call to battle was sounded. And when that call was sounded, there had to be someone to respond. So there would be men and women who would stand and say, I will go. And answer the call. They would take and say goodbye to their families and their friends, those that they know closest. And they would leave home to embark on a journey that would require them to give a sacrifice. They would put on the uniform. They would live in a different place, among different people, and they would take upon the battle so that others could live in freedom. There were many who would go into the battles never to return. They would never be back home again. They would be remembered with flowers, speeches, and music. And then others would go upon living in the freedom that someone else had purchased with their blood. Memorial Day is uniquely an American experience. We pause on this day to remember those who expressed that greater love, who laid down their lives for family and friends and freedom. President Franklin D. Roosevelt said just 1 week after the Pearl Harbor attack that brought the United States into World War II in 1941, he said this, and I quote, "Those who long enjoy such privileges of freedom that we enjoy tend to forget in time that others have died to win them that freedom. End of quote. Freedom is never free. It has always been bought with the blood of patriots. But there was another day. And there was another call to battle. This call to battle was very big. And there was one who answered that call. He left his home. He left his surroundings and his family. He left a place that he was familiar with to go to a place where those were not familiar with him. He put on a uniform of human flesh. He left his home in glory to go to the battlefield of mankind, to fight a battle that we could not fight, a battle that we could not win, and a freedom that we could not afford. Yet he was the only one who could pay for our freedom. He was the only one who could win this battle. And yet, he came. Max Lucado writes that when God sent his son into the world in Bethlehem, that God established a beachhead in Bethlehem, as those soldiers did on D-Day on June 6, 1944, and as they invaded the beaches of Normandy to free Europe from the grasp and the grasp of a Hitler's Germany. God established a beachhead through a virgin's womb and in a manger. God invaded our world to win the battle, so you and I could have freedom. You see, today, we live in freedom, but we forget about it so many times. We forget about the sacrifice that was necessary. We forget about that the greatest battlefield was not at Pearl Harbor or Lexington and Concord or Gettysburg or Iraq or South Vietnam. But the greatest battlefield for our souls took place at a place called Calvary, where Jesus gave his life as the greatest soldier of all mankind. And he gave the ultimate sacrifice. And he's the only soldier that in dying lived. He is the only one that in what others saw defeat, he actually proclaimed victory. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he won your victory for your sin and for mine. We forget about that sometimes. We get on our Sunday clothes and we pick up our Bibles and we go to church. And sometimes we forget of the bloody sacrifice that was necessary for the forgiveness of our sin. Sometimes we forget that when we go to the mall and hang out, and when we go to our jobs and work, and when we go to church, and when we gather with a group of people to vote or express our opinions about the politics of the day, we forget that there were men and women who died so you could do that. And sometimes we show up in churches just like this and sit in pews, and we forget that our Savior died so you could be here today. He died so that you could have your name on a mansion on the other side of glory. He died so that you could enjoy freedom from sin and freedom from the judgment and the penalty of sin. You see, Jesus was the ultimate soldier. He was the one who won the greatest battle ever fought. That battle was for your soul and for mine. And thank God he won. And to assure our victory and to assure everyone that he had fulfilled the plan of God, he did what no other soldier could do. He got up out of the grave of the battlefield and walked out alive. One day, he's going to come back. Hallelujah. And all of our brothers and sisters who have spilled their blood on foreign soil, or whose bodies have been brought back here to be buried with full military honors and taps, one day he's going to come back and all of those saints of God and soldiers of fortune are going to get up out of their graves. And we're going to live forever because Jesus won the ultimate battle for you. But we forget. We forget sometimes that in America, the reason we have the freedom we have is because others have died to secure it. But I believe America is facing its greatest battle today. It's a battle for the very soul of our nation. We see it in so many ways. The erosion of our culture in so many ways. And the broader picture is this. There is no solution to the problems that we have in this country apart from a turning back to God. It doesn't matter who's elected. It doesn't matter where you can use the bathroom in public places. Our nation is not going to get back to what it needs to be until we get back to God first. It has been said that we have today what we tolerated yesterday. And what we allow to go on today, our children will inherit tomorrow. So let us never forget the great words of Daniel in Daniel chapter 4, verse 32. When he reminded the kings of his day, when he said that the Most High God still rules over the affairs of men. In Daniel 4, 23. But we still forget. We forget when it's time to go to Sunday school and study the Word of God that God had left for us to learn about Him. We forget when we decide to sleep in and show no interest. We forget on Sunday nights when the man of God with the Word of God and the Spirit of God is preaching and we decide not to show up. We forget. We forget when it's time to sign up to teach our children or to teach our youth or to guide them and direct the next generation that's to come. We forget that somebody did that for us one day. And we forget that it's necessary for us to sacrifice a little time and a little effort and to give up a few TV programs and a few trips to the mall on Saturdays to put in the time necessary to teach our young people and our children, the next generation to come in this church. We forget that somebody else fought the battle too. We forget. We forget when it's time to come for Wednesday night Bible study and we allow other things to take the place of our time alone with God and with other men and women of the church and our brothers and sisters who have needs and prayers and concerns. We forget that somebody prayed for us one day. We forget that somebody prayed for you to get saved one day. We forget that there was another generation who gathered in this place and poured out their hearts and gathered around an old-fashioned altar and begged God and pleaded for God, for God's power to come, and they stayed until it happened. We forget that that's how this church got started. Oh, but we've got other things to do. We've got other places to go. Or we're just not interested. Problem is, we forgot. And that's why Jesus left for us a way to remember what we need to remember. I can't make you do anything as your pastor. Some of you think that I have that ability to do, make other people do things. It's amazing how people come to me. Can't you get them to do that? No. They're as hard-headed as you are. I can't make you be faithful. I can't make you be obedient. All I can do is point you to the one who said for you to be faithful and to be obedient. If you disobey that, you'll answer to him. See, Jesus knew his disciples better than they knew themselves. He knew that not long after he would be gone, they would get caught up in their busyness and in their study of doctrine and in their building a church and in their ministries and all the things that was necessary, and they would forget why it was that they were doing what they were doing. Sometimes people in Baptist churches forget why we're here. You're not here for anybody other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you should be here. And that is why that Jesus told his disciples, after I'm gone, I'm going to leave you a way to remember what I've done. I'm going to give you the ultimate Memorial Day. Because I'm going to go do something that no one has ever done and ever will do. And no one could do it except me. But I know that after I'm gone, you'll have a tendency to forget. And you'll get busy with your lives. And you'll get busy with your stuff. And it won't take but one or two generations down the road and all of this will be forgotten if you don't remember. So Jesus told his disciples in that upper room, I'm going to give you a way to remember what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you some bread. I'm going to give you some juice. It's going to represent my body. It's going to represent my blood. And as often as you take this, as often as you pause to remember this, you'll do this to remember me and what I have done for you. And you'll do it until I come back to get you. But before you do it, there's something you have to do first. First of all, he says that whoever drinks and eats unworthily is guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So let a man examine himself before you eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Because if you eat and drink unworthily, you eat and drink damnation to yourself, not discerning the Lord's body, because for this reason many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or many are dead. God is so serious about what he did and how he left for us to remember it. He said that if you come before and do this without making sure your sins are forgiven, making sure that you're right with God in every area, you are taking damnation to yourself. You're not discerning. This is not a ritual. This is not a sacrament required for salvation. This is something that God said, I am leaving this for you, and it is so serious that you don't take the bread, you don't take the juice if you've got unforgiven sin in your life. If there's something you're harboring this morning, you refuse to get right with God, buddy, you better pass the plate right on past you this morning. It's better for you not to take it than to take it unworthily, in an unworthy manner. That is why I believe biblically, before we do this, that we pause and give you a chance to examine yourself. So I'm going to ask every head bowed and every eye closed, and as a moment of invitation this morning, Vicky is just going to play silently. We're not going to sing. Because I don't want you to concentrate on a book or a song. I want you to concentrate on God speaking to your heart. There's something, if there's something in your life that's not right, if there's some sin, if there's some way you have fallen short for God and for his will for your life, if there's some disobedience and you have not gotten it right, now's the time to get it right, the Bible says. Now's the time for you to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven, but I've done something that's wrong. Thought a thought, did something, said something, please forgive me. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I'm not even saved. I'm not sure I'd know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Oh, listen, the most important thing you can do right now is give your heart to Christ. And if you're in that situation, I want you to get up from where you are and get down to this altar, and our deacons will meet you here. And we'll show you right from the Word of God how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. And you can accept God's free gift of salvation that He secured for you on that battlefield of Calvary that day. If there's anyone like that at all, please don't leave this building until you know you're right with God. But if you're here and you say, I need to just do business, well, you can do it right where you're seated. If you want to come to this altar and pray, you're welcome to do that for just a moment. And then we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. But don't do it in an unworthy manner. Don't forget what God's done for you.